What's going on, NFL fans? Welcome to another episode of Deep Balls. It's an NFL picks podcast for fieldgoals.com. I'm Danny Kelly, your host, and I'm joined as always by Jackson Bevins. How you doing, Jackson?
I'm great, man. Happy to be here. Nice to be doing these picks on a Friday morning as opposed to Wednesday night when the entire league is listed as questionable.
Get a little bit more leeway in terms of the injury situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, we changed over from our normal Wednesday night recording to Friday morning now, so we can kind of try and be a little more accurate. We're just going to leave you guys to the wolves in terms of Thursday night games. I mean, I don't really know. People, it's hard to predict those anyway. So what we did is we submitted our picks into our NFL pig, our ESPN Pigskin Pick'em group, and we both picked not the Dolphins last night. We both picked the Patriots. And that proved to be correct. So
after they're a juggernaut. They're like playing 2007 level football right now.
I mean, like Brady really is on that pace.
Brady is establishing himself in my mind as the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's this season that's doing it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's, obviously a lot of Seahawks fans hate the guy and I can understand why, but it's crazy that we're really pretty much witnessing the best football player of all time, I think.
Yep. I mean, I think so too.
And he's just like freaking ridiculous. Like they can change up their strategy, they can change up their scheme like completely, and he still just freaking executes it.
They did something at all, we don't have to spend a ton of time on the game start. They did something a couple weeks ago against the Jets where they became the first team in NFL history to throw the ball 90% of the time in a game. And usually that's because you're losing, but they were ahead, and instead of running out the clock, they passed it on their last seven plays. They only ran it six times all game, but they ran out the clock by throwing the football up by seven with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I saw a stat, and we talked about this before, but the Patriots are 4-0 when they pass the ball more than 80% of the time over the last decade, and the rest of the NFL is something like 4-483 or something in that.
That's so absurd.
Yeah. So anyhow, all right. So after as you may remember, Jackson and I picked the same teams last week. It was kind of one of those chalk weeks where every favorite looked good in terms of what was going on. And so we both went 10-4 on the week, which was, I think, the second best score in our group. The highest score was 11. Jackson sits at 66-39 after last week. I'm at 68-37. He's in the 83rd percentile. I'm in the 91st. And then after last night, Jackson, I am at 69. Jackson is at 67. And the leader of our group is still Maury Povich. He's,
wire to wire.
Just freaking killing it. He's at 74 total picks, correct. Cubania 16Q is second place. CWU6 is also in second place. And then Equip Monk 1, Betty Swallux, GOL, Gingerbread Man 1, Andrew V210 round out the top four. I mean, obviously there's like 10 there, but they're all tied. So anyway, great job, guys and girls. I guess we should just get right into it. We're going to try and power through this week pretty quickly. The first game on the docket is Kansas City and Detroit in London. Right now, Kansas City's favored by 4. What do you think, Jackson?
I think the NFL should totally continue with their strategy of shipping our worst football overseas in hopes of spreading the gospel of the NFL. The Chiefs and Lions both have bad records. I think the Chiefs are better than their 2-5 record. The Lions look as bad as their 1-6. Kansas City showed that they can still play pretty good football. Looks like they, last week when they beat the Steelers, looks like they sort of developed a post-Jamal Charles identity. They worked Charcandrick West in a lot of the same ways, and he responded really well with a really nice game. So I've got the Chiefs pretty comfortably in this one.
Yeah, and I also have the Chiefs. The one wild card for this is obviously the brilliance of Jim Bob Cooter. But, with the change in the coaching staff, that's always kind of a wild card. You don't really know if it's going to be like what happened in Miami, where they kind of kick ass at first, or if it's going to be like just exacerbate the issues at hand and make everything worse. And, you know, I don't really see it making a huge impact for Detroit this year. So I went with Kansas City as well. I think you nailed that one. Let's go down to Minnesota at Chicago. It's kind of interesting that Chicago's only favored by one in this one. I thought Minnesota, or I should say, it's weird that Chicago is favored at all. I would think that Minnesota would be favored in this game, but
I wouldn't be surprised to see that line move. Honestly, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by that and jump on Minnesota, and it's only 1 point right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that get moved to a push or to Minnesota.
Well, that makes sense. And so who did you pick in this game?
I took Chicago. I think Minnesota is actually a pretty bad football team.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You know, they're 28th by DVOA. They're 28th on offense, 24th on defense. They've played a terribly easy schedule. They're 2-2 against non-Detroit teams. and, you know, Chicago is getting back to at least being as healthy as they're going to be. They're at home. Alshon Jeffrey looks every bit the monster we thought he'd be now that he's back. Matt Forte still might be the most complete active running back in the NFL. I just don't think Minnesota is playing well enough to beat them in Chicago. I think this is sort of the last hope for Chicago to kind of make games meaningful. So I think the crowd will matter. I do have Chicago in this one.
Interesting. I like it. I picked Minnesota in this game. I think while Minnesota may be a bad team, I think Chicago is significantly worse. So this was basically me not having much faith in Chicago to, you know, not only win against a division opponent in terms of, you know, this is a tough divisional matchup always. You never really know what's going to happen in these games, but I just think Minnesota is playing better football right now. So I went with Minnesota. I trust Teddy Bridgewater a little bit more. I think obviously having Stephon Diggs kind of emerge as like a real threat is big for them. And then obviously Adrian Peterson. I like their defense enough to win this game on the road, so I went with Minnesota. Moving on down the line, let's talk about Tampa Bay at Atlanta. What do you got in this one?
The Falcons. You know, the Buccaneers are kind of at that place similar to where Jacksonville is, where they can play some really good quarters of football, but to win in Atlanta, and Atlanta's not as good as their record, but to win in Atlanta, you have to play a good football game. And Tampa Bay hasn't really shown they can do that. So, you know, Atlanta has had one of the softest schedules in the NFL to date per Football Outsiders. They've got the easiest one down the stretch, too. So they're going to win a lot of games, including this one.
Yeah. I mean, this one's one of those things where you don't get too cute. I picked Atlanta at home. You know, Tampa Bay has, you know, Jameis Winston's looked a little bit better as we've gone along.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
But I mean, after giving up, you know, a 24-point lead last week at home, or no, sorry, that was actually not at home; was that on the road? But still, I just think that doesn't give me a whole lot of faith that they can pull off the upset here in Atlanta. They may do it, but I just don't think it's a smart play if you're going with going to be trying to pick that. Maybe pick the line. Maybe see they'll try and cover that, but. But yeah, I'm going with Atlanta. Moving on down the line, New York Giants at New Orleans Saints. This is an interesting one to me because both teams are complete enigmas to me. I don't really know what either team is. Who did you have in this one?
I have the Saints, and just because I think that they're starting to develop a little bit more of an identity. I think as you get to the later in the season, you get the more knowing who you are matters. And I think the Saints are starting to figure out how they can set up the pass with the run. Mark Ingram has been incredibly productive this year and I think might still be leading all running backs in receptions, which is just absurd considering that, you know, he was supposed to be the power back with all these other guys getting the catches, but he's been great. And that's allowed Drew Brees to kind of figure out, okay, I don't need to find my Jimmy Graham. I can spread it out. Ben Watson's had a big game. Willie Snead has had big games. Brandon Cooks is still there and being consistently productive. And so, you know, I think that they're going to score at home. They always score at home. And the Giants just, man, there's so much talent there. And it looked early on like hey, they have evolved and they're going to be this new team that can pass with authority. And that just hasn't happened for the last few weeks. So until I see that get going again, I'm going with the Saints.
Yeah, I went with the Saints also. Pretty much along the same lines as what you're saying. One, it's a home game. And as you had said this whole year, you know, if there's a game you don't really know about, you pick the home team. And that's kind of the way I went with this one. I was a little bit high on the Giants early on. I thought, you know, they can score a lot of points. I think they're like eighth or ninth in scoring this year. But I just don't trust them. I just don't, you know, you just never know what you're going to get from them. And so, in this one, I went with like the team that looks kind of hot right now, New Orleans. Like you said, they're kind of finding their identity post Jimmy Graham, post, the fire sale this off season. And, yeah, they just look to me like the hot hand to pick on this one, and they're at home. So I'm moving on down the line, San Francisco at St. Louis. The Rams are surprisingly favored by 8 in this. I guess it's not that surprising considering San Francisco's record and kind of what they've done this year. But in these NFC grudge match type things, that's kind of a big line. I mean, especially when the total is 39.5 right now, the over under. So
yeah, right.
What's your take on this?
Well, the Rams are the better team, but they're not a consistent team. Their offense hasn't done anything in a while outside of Todd Gurley. Now, that said, there is nothing scarier to me over the next 5 years as a Seahawks fan than Todd Gurley.
God damn it.
He is for real. He is everything that you want your running back to be. I mean, 430 yards in your first three starts. I don't even think that counts receptions.
Yeah.
Teams know what's coming, and it just doesn't matter. And that offensive line, something has clicked with them since he came along. He's getting 3 yards before contact.
Yeah.
Which is just absurd. So, you know, that's how you beat a worse team, is you minimize, you know, like Pete Carroll always talks about, you just minimize opportunities for chaos, and a running game is honest. Running game and a great pass rush are the best ways to do that. Yep. And those are the two things that St. Louis does well. So I don't think St. Louis is necessarily very good. They're 16th overall in DVOA, but the 49ers are 32nd and just really bad. So yeah, the line's bigger than I thought, but I think they'll probably come pretty close to covering it.
Yeah, and for me, again, don't get too cute. Pick the Rams in this one. They're the better team, as you said. They're just better all around. Their defense is stronger. Their run game is obviously clicking now. Todd Gurley is looking really good. I think the Niners are just a picture of dysfunction right now. You know, there's talk about the team coming out against Colin Kaepernick, or like some heated dispute between Colin Kaepernick and Vernon Davis. You know, obviously there's huge questions of what's going to happen with Kaepernick going forward. You know, there's just, it's just turmoil right now, I think, in San Francisco. And, so just the rational pick here is St. Louis.
I think so.
Moving on down, we got Arizona at Cleveland. For me, this is kind of a no brainer. Although last week, Arizona did not look as spectacularly good as they have earlier this year. They almost got beaten by the Ravens, and really they probably should have lost considering the referees gave Arizona probably about 10 points. I mean,
they really kind of did. I'm not a complain about the refs guy at all, as those things even out, but that was like egregious.
Yeah. So I don't know. To me, this one was easy for me. I picked Arizona again. It was just don't get cute. I don't have any faith in Cleveland at this point. You know, their defense was supposed to be their strong suit. It's not been that great. Do you have DVOA in front of you? I don't know what their defense is.
I do. Take a guess.
26th.
27th.
Nice. Well, that was close enough. But yeah, I mean, it's like that was supposed to be their strong suit, and it's not been good. And obviously their offense is about where you'd expect it to be with, you know, a Josh McCown type thing. And so, this one for me is the easy pick. It's go with Arizona, unless you like have a crazy insider information, like why get cute on this one? What do you think?
Yeah, same. I like Cleveland. I think they're plucky as hell. But that beats average teams on a good day. It doesn't beat good teams. And Arizona is a good team. You know, they're not, people want in order, well, they, you know, lost to the Rams and shoot, who else did they lose to? That
The
was, what's up?
yeah, I'm trying to remember. The Steelers? No, I
Was
can't
it the Steelers? I think it was the Steelers. So anyway, I
remember.
mean, it's really easy to say, well, if they're so good, why didn't they win these games? It's like, look, there's a reason that no one goes 16 and 0. And the Cardinals are really good. I think they're gonna win 11 to 13 games and the division this year. And one of those wins is gonna be at Cleveland. Cleveland just, they spent 2 decades looking for an identity and they still don't have one. And if any team right now has an identity outside of the Patriots and Packers, it's Arizona. That team has got it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, look at the career renaissance that Carson Palmer's had. It's
Or
pretty,
Chris Johnson.
God, yeah, Chris Johnson. Obviously, then
Or
they have.
Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, everyone is just like, they're freaking walking dead.
I mean, can we just a brief aside here? You know, everyone in Seattle praises John Schneider, Pete Carroll for their team building. I think Arizona's, you know, tandem or crew of Arians and now I'm blanking on the GM's name. I can't remember his name, but anyway, they look like each other. And but they, man, they've made some really freaking great moves. And then obviously, I think didn't Dwight Freeney get a sack in this last game too?
Steve Keim.
Steve Keim, yeah. And
Yeah, Dwight Freeney got a sack.
so it's like, man, they've had all these really, really savvy veteran signings. Plus, then they have had, in my opinion, some of the better drafts, you know, over the last couple of years. Like Honey Badger in the third round, fucking brilliant. He looks like an all-pro type, you know, safety DB.
Peterson's probably been the best corner in the league this year.
Yeah, Peterson's been great. Deone Buchanan's been really good. Obviously, their front seven's been really good. Man, they just don't have a lot of holes. And then obviously they've got, you know, John Brown in the third round. You know, I never even heard of that guy before the draft, honestly. And I studied the draft pretty closely. And he's been a revelation.
Third in offense, fourth in defense.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, point is, I mean, like you can pick Cleveland if they're, you know, if you think the home team wins in this one. I think the safe pick is Arizona. But yeah, so moving on down the line, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. This one was interesting. And the big difference this week is that Ben Roethlisberger is, I think, supposed to be back. I don't know for sure if he's back.
Tomlin is comfortable in where Ben is at in terms of getting ready for Sunday. So
Okay.
that's
So
coach
he'll
speak
be
for he's
back.
going to play.
Yeah, he'll be back. It's in Pittsburgh, and I want to get your pick on this before I tell you who I pick. Go ahead.
This is my favorite game to think about. I love it when you have two really good teams in the division playing at full strength, and it looks like that's what we're going to have. And we've got the team that's probably a little bit worse at home. So this is like kind of one of those true
Yeah.
pick'em games, and you have to look for matchups and what you think is going to win. And I made my pick assuming that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be close to the Ben Roethlisberger that we've seen. And the Ben Roethlisberger that we've seen for the last season and a half is devastatingly good.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton is the most efficient passer in the NFL right now. I don't know how long that's going to last. Pittsburgh's defense has been much better than I expected it to be. And the fact that they have won as many games as they have without Roethlisberger shows that, you know, this is more than just him and Brown. With Le'Veon Bell back, you know, he is obviously sensational. It's going to be really, really interesting to see this. You know, Cincinnati is number one in offense, number 13 in defense. Pittsburgh is number five in offense, number 16 in defense. Those aren't huge gaps, honestly. And I think that the home crowd, the home field advantage is big enough to be the difference. But this is probably going to be my favorite non-Seahawks game to watch this week. But I did take Pittsburgh. I think Antonio Brown goes back to being the most productive wide receiver in the NFL the second that Roethlisberger is back on the field. So,
Yeah, that's cool because I went with Pittsburgh as well. I really
oh, rats.
I deliberated over this one for a while, and I mean, pretty much came up with the same conclusion as you for the same reasons. I think when you look at Ben Roethlisberger's passing numbers from last year, they're so freaking absurd. It's crazy. you know, he was over 8.5 yards, or he was over 8 yards per attempt, and he had like I think the second or third most yards passing in the whole league.
Yeah, and he had he had 12 touchdowns in a 2 week stretch.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he's got Martavis Bryant back, and Martavis Bryant has like it's like literally 40% of his career catches are touchdowns. It's
yeah, all he does is score touchdowns.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh that beat Arizona, because then remember Martavis Bryant like ran like an 88-yard.
Yeah, that was one of the great touchdowns of the season. Yeah. And granted, before I mean we spent this whole time talking about Pittsburgh. This is I mean you can make all the cases we're making for Pittsburgh. You could make for Cincinnati. You know they're, but I just think Pittsburgh at full strength. I mean, again, I thought they were a Super Bowl contender before the year, and the way they played without Roethlisberger kind of confirms that for me.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be a Bengals player hater. I think they're top to bottom one of the most talented teams or deepest teams in the NFL right now. They're another one of those teams, Arizona, Cincinnati.
They are coming off their bye, though.
The Cincinnati is. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. But they got to go on the road. To me, this is, you know, it's again, it's an AFC North division matchup where really a lot of the time record doesn't matter. You know, it's just really hard to win those division games and on the road. And that's why, you know, with Roethlisberger back, I think that Pittsburgh's going to be super energized. They're going to feel like they really survived when he was gone. And I just think they're going to be jacked up and ready to go. I mean, not to say that Cincinnati's not going to be jacked up, but I just give the edge to Pittsburgh on this one, and that'll be the game I think to watch. That's an early game on Saturday or Sunday.
And I don't appeal to the vibe very much, but the vibe tells me Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Moving on down the line, San Diego at Baltimore, a battle of two seemingly good teams that are crappy.
Perfect. Yeah, you got it. I picked Baltimore for a number of reasons. One, I think they're the best 1-6 team I've ever seen.
Yeah,
they've had the ball with the chance to tie or win in all seven games. For whatever reason, hasn't worked out in most of those. But the Chargers, I mean, the Chargers have completely abandoned the run already. Like Philip Rivers is on pace for more passing attempts than anyone in history.
He's leading the NFL in passing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's throwing it almost 50 times a game. You know, it's just crazy. And Baltimore has shown every week that they can play with anyone. And at home, I mean, one, let's say these just are two bad teams. I'd take the home team anyway, which is Baltimore. But I think Baltimore has looked really a lot better since they've gone back to kind of a power running style, and Steve Smith is still Steve Smith. You know, it's interesting. Keenan Allen is on pace for the most receptions in NFL history, so that'll be really interesting to watch, which is kind of cool to see. And with Antonio Gates back, they are better, but they can't run. Their defense hasn't been good, and it's just so hard to be one-dimensional and beat a decent team in the NFL. And I think the Ravens are at their worst. I think they're still a decent team. San Diego might be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, San Diego's 30th in defensive DVOA and 31st in special teams DVOA. Yeah. And it's like you need an exemplary offense to overcome that. And they're only 12th. So, I got Baltimore.
I know, because I kind of early on in the year, I picked San Diego a lot. And I feel a little bit snake bit by that. So I'm going with Baltimore. I mean, for the same reason, though, like two teams, you don't really know who's better. Pick the home team. And I think in this case, I might think Baltimore's better anyway, even though, you know, they're 1-6 or 1-7 or whatever they are. 1-6. Right. But yeah, so this one to me was a relatively easy pick, even though there's so many, you know, variables going into it in terms of these teams are both better probably than the record, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're good. Moving on down the line, we got Tennessee at Houston, battle of the two juggernauts. Who'd you get in this one?
You know, I just going with the formula on this one is it's too hard to predict how bad these bad teams are going to be on a given week, whether they're going to be decent or just flat out awful. And even though the Texans have been flat out awful lately, I'm taking them at home.
Yeah, same here. I don't think anyone really wants to hear us talk about Tennessee Houston. So let's move down the line. New York Jets at Oakland. This is an interesting game.
Super interesting. I love Oakland this year. I think they are so cool the way that they're going about their business. I think they're exciting as hell. They play super hard. Their defense is better than I thought they would be. I mean, I truly think that they're in the top half of the NFL in terms of true talent right now. Derek Carr is just kind of slowly showing that he can do all of the things you need an NFL quarterback to do. That said, the Jets are great this year. I think the Jets are a really good team. I think that they're kind of on top tier and have one of the best defenses. And Fitzpatrick has just been a general for that offense. I mean, this is not just a run, play good defense and hope you win 13-10 team. This team can score. And I think they'll need to beat Oakland. I think Oakland still will score in the 20s in this one. But, you know, the Jets seem like a really balanced, pretty complete team. And they're number 5 overall in DVOA. They're number 6 on offense, number 2 on defense. Wow. The Raiders are good, but I don't think they're good enough to beat that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I looked at it, too. I think if this game was in New York, I easily would have picked the Jets. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's in Oakland, I had to think twice. But I still think the Jets are a lot better. And like you said, top defense. That's going to give Derek Carr and his, you know, weapons some trouble. And then they've been able to run the ball. They've been able to score. So to me, this matchup just looks good for the Jets. But I always say every time it seems like Oakland always gives people some like trouble at home. So
big time.
It'll be an interesting one, but I went with the Jets as well on that. Moving down the line, we got Seahawks at Dallas. I think to me, this one's kind of a gimme. I chose the Seahawks just because Dallas is lack of a true quarterback right now. I don't have any faith in Matt Castle, even if Dez is back, to really do a whole lot. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, same. This is a team that is just sort of, you know, the hope was, can they hold it together and win a couple games while Romo's out so that they can make a push when he's healthy? It won't matter. They've just been really bad.
Yeah.
They needed their defense to step up during this Whedon Castle time, and they haven't. They're 25th in defense. Special teams has been a mess. They're almost dead last there. And now Joseph Randle, the starting running back, went AWOL and is now facing some league discipline. They're on their third quarterback. Dez will be running his first routes in, you know, almost 2 months. There's just, you know, the one guy that can beat the Seahawks is Jason Witten. The Seahawks have been generally terrible against tight ends, and Jason Witten's a really, really good tight end, and they can still run block really well. So I don't think Seattle blows them out, but I do think that what we saw last week from Seattle is pretty indicative of what we're going to see going forward. I think they kind of realized that their offensive identity needed to adjust a little bit, and they did. Defense looked awesome. And, you know, I can't see Matt Castle beating that. So I don't think that it's a blowout, but Seattle wins. They're the better team.
Yeah. Moving down the line, if Pittsburgh, Cincinnati isn't the game of the week, this is Green Bay at Denver. Obviously Aaron Rodgers versus Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers versus that really great Denver defense, more realistically. Who'd you have in this game?
I've got Green Bay, and it's crazy to see a home 6-0 team not favored.
Right.
I don't blame any of you out there for picking Denver. There's a lot of reasons to pick Denver. But they are, to me, the single most interesting team in the NFL. They are 6-0 and have the worst offense in. I mean, and it's honestly, it's not close. Like, they're the second worst offense by DVOA is the 49ers at -17.9. And, you know, there's percentage points wise in DVOA, a good gap is like 4 points. So mm-hmm. That's second worst, right? -17.9. Denver is -28.4.
Holy shit.
We're talking about one of the worst offenses in recent NFL history. Like, this is really bad. And it's with Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and on.
Yeah.
But they're just cooked on offense. But their defense is the best by a mile.
Yeah.
You know, they're, yeah. So anyway, it's so interesting to see a team. It's almost like a thought experiment. What would happen if you took the worst offense in the NFL and paired them with the best defense? How would they do? And so far, they're doing really well. They're beating a lot of not very good teams by really close margins. Yeah. Green Bay's not that. Green Bay's the real deal. They're they're not just an all offense team anymore. They're fourth on offense, seventh on defense. They look great. Aaron Rodgers is playing at the same type of level he was when he set the NFL record for passing efficiency. I mean, it's just Denver will give him some fits, and I don't think he's going to throw for 400 yards and five touchdowns, but I just don't see what Denver can do to score enough points to overcome the amount that Green Bay will score, which I'm assuming will be at least 24.
Yeah, well said. I mean, that's essentially the exact same line of thinking that I was taking and picking Green Bay. You know, I find it extremely difficult to pick against Aaron Rodgers right now. Kind of in the same way, it's like, are you going to really pick against Tom Brady?
Right. Not until I see some solid proof for reason why to. Yeah,
exactly. And then the other thing is just the balance. Like, Green Bay is so balanced. Like you said, their defense is really strong. Got, I don't know where they're sitting in special teams right now. You might have said
ninth.
And so it's like, man, they're just such a balanced team. So good. I like that this is the Sunday night game. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think Denver's going to give Green Bay a real run for it. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I pick Green Bay. I think Green Bay's going to win. You know, that's the game to watch next week. And then, on Sunday. And then moving on down to the Monday night game, what looked like it probably be a better matchup earlier in the year before the year, looks pretty easily Carolina. It's in Carolina, Indianapolis at Carolina. What do you think?
Yeah, Carolina. I do think Carolina is good. I think that they are a legit contender to make a run in the NFC playoffs. I think they're a really good football team. I think Cam Newton's playing his best ball of his career. And the Colts, then this is crazy to think about, but I think the Colts are going through the exact same thing that the 49ers did 2 years ago, where everything was setting up for this championship window, coach they like, franchise quarterback, all these things. Let's make some veteran additions to really put us over the top. But the GM and coach can't get along. There's all these leaks coming out about Discord and this and that, and the owner coming down and yelling at the team in the locker room and all kinds of stuff. So they just seem like a total mess. Now, a win at Carolina on Monday night would be wonderful medicine for them, but they're fully reliant on Andrew Luck to win right now. And Andrew Luck is like a league average quarterback at best this year. So it's Carolina pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I went with Carolina for those same reasons. I really like Carolina's defense a lot. Not even talking about how good Carolina's been on offense, but man, I just think they're going to give Indianapolis some trouble on defense. Luke Kuechly, freaking the best middle linebacker in the NFL right now.
Yep.
You know, Thomas Davis is no slouch either. He doesn't get as much credit as Kuechly.
Josh Norman is probably a top five corner this year too.
Right. Josh Norman is shutting down stuff. They've got Quan Short and all those guys on the defensive line that playing really well. You know, I just really like Carolina's defense a lot, and the way that Indianapolis is playing, I think that's going to be a big factor. It's in Carolina, so that's big. That was a pretty easy pick for me.
So our only disagreement this week is Vikings Bears, huh? I thought we'd have some more the way the games are setting up.
Yeah, we both picked Pittsburgh. I think you're right. Yep, that's the only one. Right. But on. So that'll be the one to watch, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Right on, man.
Did you have any?
Hopefully, I can get within a game of you. You've opened up a 2-game lead on me, so it'll either be 1 or 3 after this week.
So I'm going to be rooting hard for Minnesota here. Do you have any thoughts on the lines this week?
Yeah, you know, our against the spread picks this year have been going pretty well. If you're betting them, you know, taking my advice this year, you're doing pretty well. I generally hate taking lines in London games, but I do think Kansas City covers their 4 points there. Mm-hmm. I think Chicago covers their 1 point over Minnesota, and I think that line will probably move towards Minnesota before the week's done. That's my second one. And I mean, I think Pittsburgh wins as well. They're right now a 1 point favorite, and I think they win by somewhere between 3 and 7. So those are my against the spreads this week.
There you have it. So thanks again for joining us. We'll give this Friday thing a test and see how it goes. And it just works better for our schedules, I think. And it's just easier to figure out what's going on with these games. I mean, I'm making my picks regardless on Tuesday, just full disclosure. But it gives everyone else a little bit better chance to figure out what's going on with injuries and all that. So it makes some sense to do this late in the week. So yeah, make sure and subscribe to all our podcasts, and we'll get this going on the site in a few minutes. Thanks, Jackson.
Yeah, thanks, guys.